Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Back to Mark Grody.
So, Kyler, what's the protocol here? Do you have to, like, buy something for everybody in the secondary? Did Jalen Johnson set any kind of precedent with his extension? How does this work?
Nah, we ain't got nothing like that, so not expecting nothing like that.
Paid, but is there anything that you are looking forward to buying or have bought already with the new money?
Nah, I don't think I got no expectation. My mind's not there right now. I feel like it's been more on football and family than anything, but I bet something will come up for sure.
I bet.
I bet, Kyler.
But you sound cooler with bet. The lingo with bet.
Hey, yo, bet.
That's what the kids are saying in the streets, Grody.
And bet rhymes with bears.
It doesn't.
Oh, it doesn't?
It does not. They both have the same first two letters. Oh. That's about all I'll give you on that.
Okay. The school I went to taught me that if the first letter is the same, it rhymes.
Yeah, this is we've been having some issues with public education in this country.
Yeah.
No.
This might be a further illustration of that. We're running out of time here.
I know.
Mark
I know.
Grody in for Layla Rahimi here on 670 Score middays. We're broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. Mark, you have had quite the 24 hours. You're here with us right now, but then yesterday you were at House Hall all day and then came back, rushed back into the city to host a Take the North podcast live with Dan Wiederer right there from our performance studios.
Oh, it was an absolute blast as we had a packed house. We had an overflow crowd of people coming into the performance studio to watch the Take the North live. First time that we have done that in the performance studio. Dan Wiederer was great dishing out the information like he always does. And I do, again, I want to say thank you. Like, it truly means a lot that people take time out of their day to at 6 o'clock in the middle of the week for 1 hour to come and watch. So I met a whole bunch of, yeah, they are precious. They are, precious. They were just great. Yesterday we did two segments of questions. Dan and I were like, let's try one segment, see how it goes with the questions, and we did too because everybody wanted to get into it. So it was an absolute blast. And you're right, that was after I had raced back from Hallis Hall, where I spent the day there talking to the coordinators. And then one of the things that we got to do, which was an awesome setup by the Bears yesterday, we got to go downstairs in the larger auditorium room. They opened it up for the position coaches. So they set up a bunch of tables with the names of the position coaches because, you know, we don't necessarily put names with faces at this point. So, and what you get to do is you just get to go sit down at any of the tables with any of the gentlemen that are there. So you have different groups of reporters talking to different people. Sometimes you end up as the only reporter talking to somebody because people, it's a fluid situation, people getting up and moving away. The first table that I went to, that I decided to go to, was the running backs coach. That would be Eric Bieniemy.
I'm guessing that was a full table. People wanted to hear what Eric Bieniemy had to say?
Absolutely. At different times it was. I think when I was there, there was probably maybe four or five of us sitting at the Eric Bieniemy table because everybody has their own thing that they're trying to cover, you know, their own agenda. But mine was Bieniemy right away. I did not remember, by the way, that Eric Bieniemy is the all-time leading rusher at Colorado.
Well, everyone's been reminded in the last week because I don't know if you know why that's become a more commonly known fact, because they're saying, how is Eric Bieniemy's jersey not retired, but you want to retire the jerseys of both Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders?
Wow. Yeah.
So no one asked him about that?
No, I didn't. I was unaware of that. Shame on me. I'll ask Eric Bieniemy that. So anyway, Bieniemy is a guy who has a reputation of being kind of a hard ass, the type of coach. And, you know, of course, he was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs from 2018 to 2022. So just given some of the credentials. But I asked Eric Bieniemy about how he will go about getting on his running backs.
Per your reputation, it sounds like these guys better work their butts off. Is that fair?
Well, I say this. First of all, yes, it is fair to say, but more than anything, I think there's just a love and a passion about who we are as a group and how can we be accountable and making sure there's a standard that we're living up to. So more than anything, you know, and I've had an opportunity to talk to these guys and let them know, hey, listen, we want to strive for perfection in order to achieve excellence, you know what I mean? But there's a standard in which we have to live by. And so we've got to come to work every single day. We got to make sure we're doing all the little things the right way. But when it's time to be at your best, I expect you to be at your best. And if you're putting uncharacteristic behavior on tape, yeah, I'm going to get after your ass on that. But if you're putting the right behavior on tape, I'm going to be your biggest fan, okay? But when it's all said and done, we just want to make sure that we understand the standard in which our head coaches expect us to live by, but on top of that, the standard that we expect to put on tape. And when it's all said and done with, we want to make sure we're doing it the right way.
Eric Bieniemy right there. And I'm just like picturing going into the locker room and seeing DeAndre Swift or Roschon Johnson, and one of them's down in the dumps. What's going on here? Well, coach got on my ass today because I didn't do the right things. That is symbolic, Eric Bieniemy, the way he is talking, of the way a lot of the position coaches and even coordinators are talking. Clearly, there has been a message from the top, my guess, starting with Ryan Poles, handed down to Ben Johnson, saying that one of the issues last year was we just did not have enough rules, enough discipline, whatever it was. And I think that, and Bieniemy even said it, that he gets the feeling that the players embrace coaching, which is not shocking considering they didn't have great coaching last year.
No, I think they want to have guys who have been proven at their positions because they want to be good and they realize they were not good last year as a whole. And so if you're a player and you're saying, I'm going to do my part, but I need to make sure the coaches do their part, I can understand why there is this yearn for better coaching. And Bieniemy sounds like a good place to start just because he has almost that drill sergeant in him.
Great.
Yeah, I'm going to get after your ass.
Exactly. So
menacing sounding.
If you know there's a guy that sounds like that, you're going to snap to attention a little bit better than maybe you did in previous seasons as someone who's been on the losing train with the Chicago Bears.
Right. Like, players, beware that this is a different animal, and this he has been brought in for a specific reason. I'm sure he's very talented at coaching running backs, but it seems like there's a lot of teaching points that Eric Bieniemy can bring. Another guy, so I sit down with Eric Bieniemy, and I decided, I'm going to get up now. I'm going to go. I've heard that, and I've got more of Bieniemy, but I decided to go talk to Al Harris, who is the Bears DB's coach. A lot of Bears fans remember Al Harris in his playing days from 1998 to 2011 with the Green Bay Packers as a cornerback. Older Bears fans will remember Al Harris, the linebacker who sat out the 1985 season with Todd Bell, but that's a totally different story. Al Harris was, and I'll give you an idea too, because you're going to hear other voices in this conversation. Let me tell you who the table was. So we've got Al Harris. It was myself. It was Herb Howard. It was Caitlin the Shark Sharkey and Pat the Designer as well. So those are the tables. Those are some of the voices you might be hearing here on Al Harris talking about Jalen Johnson and his one-on-one skills and the concept of him potentially traveling with the team's other best wide receiver.
The only thing you need to see from Jalen Johnson over the spring and summer to give you all the confidence that he can play man-to-man with his other team's best receiver week in, week out, travel with y'all, actually travel.
Well, that's something we need to see from everybody. You know what I mean? That they can play man-to-man.
We got that many guys.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, that's something we need to see from everybody, not only Jalen. You know, we're gonna know who can do what, and we'll move from there.
But that is something that was brought up, the idea of Jalen traveling with the other team's best wide receiver, which has not happened a lot in Jalen's career here. What are the advantages and maybe disadvantages of traveling with a guy?
First, who told you that?
I believe it was it Ben Johnson or DA?
Okay.
I knew it was somebody.
Yeah, you weren't gonna get me.
It's on the record. It's on the record.
Okay.
I promise.
Right.
I
wouldn't. Yes.
You think I would do that to you on your first day?
Okay. No, I think if you have a guy that can travel, I think that's huge. The years prior we had Trey. When you have that guy, then you don't worry about that wideout. You know, now you worry about the other guys, you know what I mean? And you kind of you coach that guy up when he comes off the field, but you can kind of focus all your attention and things on the other guys like that. But when you have that guy, it is, especially when you're playing in a man-to-man or a vertical carry system to where you can take that guy away with one guy without doubling him, coach's dream.
You're over here with the gotcha on Al Harris. He really was like, I'm not about to tell you what the possible plans are. Where did you get that from?
Well, he kind of got me too, because I couldn't come up with the name of exactly where we heard it. And I'm looking at Herb. I'm looking at Sharkey. Come on, you two are in.
Well,
on
it was
this
Dennis
too.
Allen, right?
Ultimately, I think it was Dennis Allen, and Jalen mentioned it as well. It is absolutely on the record. Ben may even have discussed it.
Yeah, Jalen definitely talked about it as well, because that's where we first heard him talking about wanting to do that. Now was the time.
Exactly, and I mean, I would love to see it, to try it, to see how that goes. And we know that Jalen would love it as well, obviously.
You're listening to Score Middays. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, Layla Rahimi with the day off, as we're going over some Hallis Hall sound that was collected by the great Mark Grody. And you haven't let us down yet. I know you went from table to table. Who's up next?
Well, hold on. I got one more from Alex, because there's a great line within this that some people will squirm a little bit when they hear it, because
got to get comfortable getting uncomfortable. That's everybody.
That's right. It deals with the kingdom of God. Al Harris, more on the idea of somebody traveling, and does that leave a soft spot on the defense? So here's Al Harris again.
Well, my whole philosophy when it comes to coverage, it don't matter who's running the routes. It really doesn't. And I tell the guys, until you see somebody that was at the Last Supper on that other side, it doesn't matter who's running the routes. We still got to cover them. They still have a system that they have to run. So it's not as if Tyreek's over here on the number one receiver that, we're shaking in our boots, because whoever we have out on the field, we're not going to feel that it's a mismatch.
So if it's not John, Matthew, Simon, Peter.
Who's the traitor?
Jesus, Judas.
Judas the traitor.
I get it. If they weren't at the Last Supper, you still got to cover them.
It's such a great line. Have you ever heard that line?
I have not heard that line, but it is a beautiful line.
Ladies
and gentlemen, beautifully executed, especially timeliness. A day before Good Friday.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, nice. See, now you reminded me again that I can't eat meat today. See, I always feel like when I forget about it, it's okay to eat the meat.
Wow.
But, yeah. Well,
it's like
kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
That's like telling yourself, I forgot that I'm not supposed to text my ex-girlfriend. Oh, I forgot about it, so it doesn't really count. Oh, no, man. It still counts, Mark.
Yeah, it does.
It still
counts.
So
just getting these X's. All right, well, I'm gonna go to Holy Name a little bit later. Chuck and I will go to Holy Name, and we'll go to confession today. But great line by Al Harris, some good stuff. So stay tuned to how the defensive backs are going to be used, and as we find out more about what he thinks about Tyreek Stevenson and Kyler Gordon and Terrell Smith and the rest of these guys. But I do think that all of those guys are going to get a fresh objective
look. Let's move on now to another guy that I think people have been desiring to hear from, and that is the brand new offensive line coach of the Bears, Dan Roschar. And Braxton Jones seems to be the weak link on the offensive line, and one of the things that we keep hearing about Braxton Jones is that he needs to improve his anchor. Mr. Roschar, how can he do that?
There's a couple of things, and I think this is true for all players. When do we have anchor issues? We have anchor issues when our hips are high. We aren't centered. Our center of gravity is not down. Our feet aren't in the ground. Our knees aren't bent as well as they should be. And sometimes you get fooled with, oh, speed to power. I'm going to a speed position. My set angle's at. It transitions to power quickly. We can start to work on those things. Braxton and I have talked about that. I said, hey, give me roundabout figures percentage-wise. When have you been hurt? Oh, in fairness, there's a number that he's given me. I said, when haven't you been hurt? And there's a number he's given me. And I said, when you haven't been hurt, why? Oh, I knew it was coming. All right, what can we do mentally better to prepare for what's this guy going to give me? There, you begin that mental process. You work like heck in your drill work to see if you can improve that on a daily basis.
So it ain't just about getting in the weight room, and that's the way the question was prefaced, like beyond bulking up more, what can you do to be better? I thought that was really poignant, him sharing that stuff with Braxton Jones, that look, he doesn't know everything, he doesn't see everything that's coming, and so that's the way, like if Braxton Jones is the left tackle, now you've got a way to potentially make him better from a mental know what is coming more of the time.
Yeah, it's interesting. It took kind of back to an almost elementary approach of how you need to be loaded for any athletic anything, you know, talking about the knees being bent,
yeah.
Talking about being
high
ready
hips.
To go, yeah. Not just be standing up straight, because that's how you get blown over, however you want to put
uh-huh.
it. So that's interesting. I know we're getting closer and closer to the draft. Is it time for Mark Grody 2.0?
I mean,
and just with the number 10 pick, that's all I care about when we do this.
Look at my chart here. Let me take a look at the chart. I could do this for you. Absolutely. I did it once for you.
You did it on the fly.
The last time we did this, it was Tyler Warren who I went with. So this is technically Mark Grody 2.0 now?
2.0.
Wow, you are keeping me honest, man, and I appreciate it. Okay, with the 10th overall pick in the 2025 draft, the Chicago Bears select. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Mason Graham.
Mason Graham.
I've heard from a couple people that I trust, that he can't, that it is not out of the realm of possibility that he falls to number 10. Now, I don't like the idea that people are saying that he could fall to number 10, because what does that mean? And I would
say, what's wrong with him?
Right. Like, is there a reason why a stud defensive lineman would? I think it's going to be Mason Graham. And you know why? Because I listened to DA talking, Dennis Allen, talking about how the way they want to get to the quarterback is, of course, you want your defensive end, but that inside pressure that we were talking about. And I'm not saying that Dennis Allen is the guy with the power of the pick, but I think he could potentially be persuasive. So right now, on the spot, I'm going with Mason Graham as the 10th overall pick for the Chicago
Bears. That wouldn't be at all shocking to you if they took a defensive player at number 10?
No, it would not be surprising to me at all if they, or nor disappointing, if they were to take an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. It's silly to think that you've got enough. I mean, do we know? We know that Zach Pickens is leaning towards
not being enough.
Jervon Dexter, I feel like he's still on the uptick. You know what I mean? But not that you brought in Grady Jarrett to now be the three technique, right? So the. Not quite there yet. Not quite there. So you don't have you have Billings as a sure thing, right? Montez Sweat as a sure thing. Odangbo is going to be a sure thing.
When you say Montez Sweat is a sure thing, how sure are you that he's going to revert to the form of 2 years ago as opposed to just look like what he looked last year and maybe just have enough help that he doesn't have to do as much as he did 2 years ago?
I'm going
to
give him the benefit of the doubt
okay.
in thinking that he was banged. I mean, he showed up on the injury report a ton of times last year. He oftentimes didn't want to talk last year. I mean, he's not excited ever really about talking to the media, but there were a lot of times where he politely said, not today, which he didn't do his first when he was dropped in here, which is different because you feel a responsibility. But I do think that he will get it back. I do have one more cut here. from Mr. Roshar, which might be my favorite cut of all of these.
Okay.
Because he was asked the simple question of, sometimes you ask the simplest questions, you get the best answers. Wasn't my question, for the record. What do these inside guys on the offensive line that the Bears have brought in, what do they do for Caleb Williams?
Well, think about it. Right now, you give the guy the ability to step into the pocket, not out of the pocket.
Mm.
If it's not coming at me directly, and we dealt with this with Drew in New Orleans, very similar in stature with Caleb. The ability to step up, see the field, get the ball out, that's valued. And if I've got people to step away from or move because of penetration, edges, that becomes even more challenging for any quarterback.
Novel concept, being able to step up into the pocket as opposed to stepping out of the pocket. And it's also interesting, he brought up the size thing with Drew Brees. We went through all of this last year, pre-draft with Caleb. Is he tall enough? Look, he is not prototypical height for an NFL quarterback.
I like the idea of the pocket not collapsing from the top on him.
It's a really nice thought, isn't it?
You know, whether you want to talk about deflections or anything else, when those middle guys are coming at you, it's a different level than a guy you can kind of slide step past if he's coming on the edge.
Yeah, I mean, no doubt about it. So that's it. That's what I have. That is a Bears report right there on the midday show.
Yeah, I'm going to get after your ass.
That's right.
Yeah, Eric Bieniemy, do what you do. Apparently impressing Mark Grody and the rest of the media that went from table to table.
That's right.
At Halas Hall. And we'll see what the Bears do their next time out when they resume the training program.
OTAs? I believe after the draft, the next time we assemble at Halas Hall, I'll be in studio, but the next time reporters will assemble at Halas Hall is for the draft. And then I believe there's a rookie mini camp.
Yes, it's that a rookie
comes
mini
right
camp.
After
That's
that.
What's next.
Yeah, which is always a blast, for
this,
real.
This segment sponsored by Webb Hyundai in Highland and Merrillville, Indiana. Coming up next, getting closer and closer to the Cubs pregame show coming your way at 12:45, but we will get you those starting lineups and tell you what we're expecting this weekend. Cubs with a red-hot Arizona Diamondbacks team in town. It's Score Middays. Mark Grody, Marshall Harris, 670 The Score.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Getting ready for a little Cubs matinee action as they start an 8-game homestand with the red-hot Diamondbacks in town. The D-backs were 7-7, and they decided to win 5 in a row. So now they're 12-7, charging up the National League West standings. I say charging up, but really kind of staying in place because you've got to go against the Padres, the Giants, and the Dodgers also in that same division. Taking a look at the lineup that they will put out there, it'll be Corbin Burnes on the mound against Colin Ray for the Cubs. Here's what the lineup looks like tonight. Ian Happ leads off, playing left field. Kyle Tucker batting second, playing right field. Seiya Suzuki, the DH, will bat third. Michael Bush will hold down first base, and he'll bat cleanup. Dansby Swanson batting fifth, playing shortstop. Nico Horner playing second and batting sixth. Pete Crow Armstrong is in center field. He will bat seventh. Carson Kelly is the catcher for this one. He will bat eighth. And rounding up the lineup in the ninth spot, playing third base, Vidal Bruján. That's how it goes.
Before we get to some good audio from Wrigley Field, I just saw a new, 29 minutes ago, from Justin Steele saying, I appreciate the prayers and thoughts. God is good. And then there's a photo of him in the hospital with, is that post-op? I'm not really sure, but he's got his arm in a cast, and he's given the thumbs up, too. And I know he sent like a really appreciative tweet before that as well.
Yeah, I think that's post-op because that's when they would put you in the cast after doing the surgery.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So we have Craig Counsell, as you mentioned, Mark, talking pregame ahead of today's game against the Diamondbacks. And he was asked about what's going on at third base. We told you Vidal Bruján is the guy there. Matt Shaw just sent down. John Birdie, also an option, as well as Gage Workman. So what is the deal at third base, Craig?
I think you're going to see a number of players play there, yeah. We've got, interestingly, you know, every day we got kind of four choices at third base. I don't think we have, like, so you're going to see different guys there frequently. So we're just kind of looking at matchups, and today the best day was, best choice was Vidal.
Can someone outright win it?
Of course, yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I think we're going to use platoons, though. I think that's the most logical thing that'll happen, and most likely thing that'll happen. Yeah.
He'd gotten hurt in the spring, but what had you seen in the at bats and how he was working before the injury?
Yeah, I mean, Vidal's value is his versatility, I think, and his athleticism, and it's, you know, there's not many players in this league that can play shortstop and center field. I think he's an effective base runner as well. He's a switch hitter, and, you know, I think the bat is what, you know, is going to be the most important thing for him to get going, but his versatility makes him very valuable on the roster.
Is it important, Jordan Wicks is an out-getter, that's why he's here, is it important to keep him stretched out? Do you need him at depth for the rotation? Is he going to be considered to get starts?
We're going to use him to be stretched out. I mean, I think that's ideal to serve as some length with this group in the bullpen.
Are you considering starting him at some point? Or is that
in the season? Yes. During the season, yes, we'd consider it.
Today is a possible piggy day?
Colin Ray is the starter, and then we're going to go try to win the game after Colin Ray. Normal start. Yeah.
What do you need to, Luke Little has a ton of talent, obviously, beyond just being in the strike zone. What does he need to do to really harness that?
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, that's number one. I mean, I think I don't, there's like a, the, what's second is pretty, pretty distant. You know, I think when he's thrown strikes, he's been an effective major league pitcher. And when he hasn't, he has not been an effective major league pitcher. So that's number one. Now, there's like ingredients that go into that that I think, are important. And look, you know, I think maybe, you know, at this point, Luke probably just coming off surgery and having a lot of innings, he just got to get more consistent work. We just got to get more work and kind of get him in the strike zone more. I think that will produce that more. Luke's a big man with a lot of, you know, with the moving parts. It's going to be a challenge for him. What we have to do as a organization, we're going to have to be patient with that process of development for him. It may take a little longer than, you know, Luke wants it to take, than we want it to take. And then we just have to kind of make the incremental progress kind of behind the scenes that allow the ball to be in the strike zone more.
What's your advice for Shaw? What's the organization viewpoint of his ability to hit, and if there's changes that should possibly be made at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I think the advice is like the best learning moments come when you have adversity, when you have struggles. This is an opportunity for you. And it's hard to look at it like that when, you know, you're getting told you're being demoted, but it's an opportunity. The game has told him, you know, he's got some exposure to a different level of baseball, and it's pretty good, right? And he struggled with it. You don't just abandon ship from Matt's perspective. You take the information in and you learn from it. And that's what we're going to try to do. And he'll be successful at it.
Craig Counsell talking about 24-year-old Luke Little, who was sent down as abruptly as he was called up after having some control issues. He'll work on that. Some other things to take away from what Craig Counsell said just moments ago is the fact that Vidal Brujan in that lineup as the third baseman today, but he's going to run all four guys out there. That's Brujan. That's
Birdie,
John Birdie. That's Gage Tater-Workman. That's, I guess, occasionally Justin Turner even.
I guess so.
So
yeah,
the question becomes, who do you want to see there? And he was asked straight up, can someone win that job? And they said, yes.
Yeah, why not?
But then he quickly said, but platooning is the more diplomatic way of approaching this right now. That's what he feels like gives them the best matchup.
Maybe Aramis Ramirez will come out of retirement now that he's Cubs Hall of Famer.
Might be a little past his prime at this point in his
possibly,
career.
Possibly. The other part that I thought was interesting was trying to get information from Craig Counsell on Jordan Wicks and what his exact role is. Because I heard there was a two-part question, like what's he going to do and will he start? He didn't answer until the follow-up came. So it was a really good follow-up right there. And he did say, yes. Oh, during the season? Yes. So I didn't understand what he was during the season. Yeah, we're in the season. Is he going to start in the season? And he said, yes, it's possible, but it does sound like they clearly want to use him as a bullpen guy. Maybe he comes in today if Colin Ray is ineffective. And as you said, I think, I don't remember if it was on the air or backstage, saying that you don't know if Colin Ray is stretched out enough. So Wicks might be right in the game today after four innings.
Well, he was asked, is it a piggyback situation?
Yeah,
he kind of danced around that a little bit, but he said Colin Ray is the starter. Jordan Wicks is clearly the swing man because he's part of the bullpen, but he wants him, yes, to continue to be stretched out. So he's now the new swing man. And the question just becomes, will he be called into action if one of these starters either A, gets injured, or B, falters to the degree to say we have to make a change, like they've done with their bullpen over the last week?
Yeah, and Luke Little will return for sure. I mean, at some point in time, and they'll be going up against some badass lefties over the next few days. So being down a left-handed, you know, reliever, not ideal, but the Cubs did what they needed to do with Luke Little.
So Caleb Thilbar's got quite the challenge in front of him when you look at all of the lefties that are coming in here on this homestand. You can go ahead to like a Shohei Ohtani, a Kyle Schwarber, a Bryce Harper when the Phillies come to town. Mm-hmm. But just in this series alone, Diamondbacks got guys.
Yes.
And, you know, looking at their lineup today, you know, Corbin Carroll, who's been otherworldly, Pavin Smith, who's been on a tear as well, Josh Naylor, he's a lefty, Jake McCarthy in center field, also a lefty. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle late game situations. And the hope, if you're the Cubs, is that you're there.
And I think I might have expressed that on this show with you and Layla. I have a healthy fear of Josh Naylor. Just one of those guys, when he comes up to the plate, I always feel like he's going to just crush people. Maybe it's because of what he used to do to the White Sox, but I do. I might put money on him to hit a home run.
So the Cubs coming off a series loss, but a successful 500 road trip. Can they keep it going this weekend? You know, we're going to talk all about this coming up next week, as well as the NFL draft, as we are now less than a week away. Mark Grody, you're back with us on Wednesday, right?
Wednesday. Looking forward to it, man. It'll be the day before the draft. Pre-draft party on the Midday Show.
It's going to be a huge, huge party. A thanks to all of the people who helped us put this show together, starting behind the glass. Ray Diaz, our executive producer. Robbie Triano, he's on the sound. Brandon Fryer also helping out. The Score video team, Connor O'Donnell, Jenna Dulston, and Matt Anaya. Grody, a special thanks to you for being here this
thanks
week.
Thanks for having me, man. This has been a blast. I wish the show wasn't so short. I'm going to enjoy like going home at 12:45, but this show has been really enjoyable.
So that'll do it for us here. Have a great weekend, everyone. Big NBA playoff weekend. We'll talk about that. Plus, I'm sure there will be some new Bulls thoughts on the way. I'm trying to figure out where they rank and where you want to be if you're a Bulls fan. That'll do it for us. We will see you on Monday. Thanks for listening to Midday Scores. That's us.